I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Number 10. Hello, I'm early.
How are you?
For once, how are you?
Not too bad.
Yes, thanks.
Good.
I heard the Scorpions are playing here tonight.
The German rock band.
We need a bigger shed.
How are you? Good, how are you doing? Walking into the shed, here we go. Oh, it's so warm in here, it's freezing cold outside.
Right. You got it for a go.
Oh my god, it's only been six
Skills.
Months.
How are you, Colette Kinsella?
Collianus, I'm very well. I'm very, very well.
Good to see you.
I have to say now, I know nothing about Scorpions, and I know that's what we're going to talk about today. Well, I have been playing the Scorpions all weekend, but
yeah,
that's another story.
The wind of change, yeah. Brilliant, what a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the end of the night kind of band, really.
Oh, God, yeah. But did you say they're touring again?
I thought I saw a sign for them somewhere, but I would say their audience is mainly...
Dead.
Or on life support systems being wheeled in from hospitals. Just the last wish. Three guys on drips in the audience, including me, probably, in fairness, if I got a ticket.
They were good, though, I have to say.
Yeah, so Scorpions.
Right. You brought something interesting into the critter shed, which you...
Two things,
actually. You brought in two lamps.
Yeah, well...
They're going to be used later on.
Yeah. This lamp here looks like a regular torch.
Mm-hmm.
But when I turned it on, it doesn't give off light. It gives off a bluish kind of a purple light. It's actually a UV light.
Right.
So we'll show you what that is for later on.
Is that the type of stuff that would show up your dandruff and your white underwear?
Yes. among other things.
Okay.
Crime scene investigation shit.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Radio. You're reaching up for something. One of the many Tupperware containers.
Yeah,
containing,
we might as well
God
start off. It's always best to start off with an animal, I find.
I think it is best to start off with an animal. Now, I have to say, I've never seen a live scorpion.
Never?
Never come across a live scorpion. I've seen their tracks in deserts, but I've never seen a live animal.
Not even up here?
No.
So this, you're coming up here a few months now.
I know, but...
That's my failing.
That's your fault. No, that's your fault. You've just taken the lid off, and there's... substrate, there's a rock, and there is the most amazing looking creature.
Yes.
And it's black, it's 3 inches long, and it is the typical scorpion shape. Big pincers, long body, tail nicely arched up and ready to do whatever it does.
Yeah.
Sort of like a lobster.
Very much so, because initially these would have been sea creatures, very much like lobsters.
Yeah.
So it could be a case of convergent evolution, that they were kind of in the same area doing the same thing and adapted to life in the same similar manner.
So what species of scorpion is this now?
This is an Asian forest scorpion. It's one of the bigger species of scorpions. Scorpions are fantastic creatures that are older than trees. They're on the earth longer than trees are. So that's a really good way of pointing out how ancient these are.
Yeah.
They're 450 million years plus around, and they were sea creatures back then, and then they're like 380 million years walking on land. They're one of the first pioneers onto the land. We have tracks of them in Australia coming up chasing other arthropods wandering around. So it's really like these fossils are amazing that you can actually see the progression of them moving up onto the land.
I love that, pioneers.
Yeah, really are cool. And they're arachnids, they're not insects, so they're related to the spiders.
Remind me again the difference between arachnids and insects.
Eight legs is the first one. Eight legs is the first
insects
one.
Have
six.
Okay.
And also,
arachnids have
yeah,
eight.
And they're segmented differently, and they're just they broke off from each other millions and millions of years ago. But
so this guy
beautiful
is
beautiful little creatures. And, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Describe him there.
He's beautiful. So he's standing there, looking sort of like a lobster, but has that very typical scorpion-like tail, which is curled towards his body as if he's ready to pounce.
Yeah.
Really big pincers. And then they're each segmented horizontally.
Yes.
From side to side.
So that's where his eyes are on the top of his head and on the
really?
Front there. Yeah. So he has two main eyes and they have up to five secondary eyes.
Oh, right.
But they really have crap eyesight. So I don't know why they bother with so many. Maybe they just are compensating for having shit eyesight. But anyway, at the front there are his chelicerae, which is like his chewing devices. So they actually look like tiny little claws in his mouth they use to chop up food, and they regurgitate digestive enzymes and then chop it up and chew it. It takes ages for them to eat.
Wow.
So if they caught like a large cockroach or something, it could take them an evening to finish it off. As he finishes it off, you see the segments in the body? That
yeah.
Right? So he'll swell up like an accordion.
Oh, right.
So
really?
You know when you pull an accordion apart?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they look like. And you see that. And as well, when the females
become... So he's like an elastic waistband.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And when the females become pregnant, the exact same thing
very
happens
clever.
As well.
So that's their exoskeleton, obviously. Yeah. They don't have backbones.
No,
so that's a clever way of allowing them to eat enough food and
100%. And the great thing about scorpions is... from their point of view and from an evolutionary point of view, the reason they haven't changed in hundreds of millions of years is because they're very, very well designed for what they do.
It just works.
Yeah, and they can eat once a year or once 3 to 4 times a year.
Really?
Yeah, and a bigger species like this might even get a good meal once a year and could perfectly survive.
Mm.
And the desert species don't need that much water because they wouldn't get it that often.
Mm.
In fact, there's over 2,000 species of them, we reckon.
Mm, wow.
There's about 1,500 are identified.
Mm.
But there's probably loads more out there. Like all small bugs that are knocking around. And the misconception, the common misconception is that they're all very dangerous. Of course, this isn't true. Only about 25 of those near 2,000 species would be even dangerous to people.
Mm.
So that's less than 1%. So, yeah.
So you're handling this little guy.
Yeah.
And what would happen? Like what would his sting be like? If he did sting you,
it'd be like a bee sting with a bit of swelling, because
right.
I have been stung by this particular species before, and you do swell up. You do tend to swell up. This is actually a funny story, because it was a baby one of these. I was separating from its mother, and it got out of the container I was working on with, and it ran around the back of my bench and stung me in the arse, and I had a big Beyonce bum for about like one cheek just swollen for like a couple of days. It was ridiculous, but yeah, they're incredible.
He's beautiful. Like, is it a male?
That's a male.
Yeah.
The female is up in this box over there, so
you keep them apart because. Solitary
scorpion porn. they would be solitary if you raise them together, believe it or not. Scorpions get on fairly well, but if you separate them out and then try to put them back together, they don't get on.
Okay,
so it's a case of like, if siblings are separated at all, you just can't put them back together until it's breeding time.
Okay,
and the males will follow a chemical clue from the females. They'll get a pheromone, yeah, and they have this thing under their body called pictines, which are these kind of fans that come out from under their body. All scorpions have them. They're unique to scorpions, and they pick up chemical traces on the ground. And the male will pick up the smell of the female and know she's up for it, for want of a better term, and he'll go after. Now, the mating process varies from species to species, but it's generally a very complex dance with a lot of front face kissing. So they grab each other's claws and they'll kind of touch off each other. It's like a chemical kiss, and then there's a lot of shaking and jostling, and it can go on from anything from an hour up to like 38 hours.
Wow.
So it's a long old process. They have external fertilization.
Uh-huh.
So the male will pop a sperm packet on the ground.
Yep.
And he'll pull and tug at the female and gyrate her over the sperm packet, and then she'll pick it up.
Yeah. And which is different to the frogs, right? Because the frogs, this frog spawn comes out first from the female, the eggs comes from the female, and then it's fertilized.
Yeah, exactly. Same with fish.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And you can see all over his body here, all these tiny little hairs.
Yeah.
So that's like how he sees the world. It's kind of similar to our tarantulas we were talking about before, where they have all these tiny sensitive hairs that a little kind of a bug or a butterfly flying past him, he'd be able to sense that.
Right.
Also, each one of the scorpion's feet is like a pressure sensitive device that is attached to the ground. So if there's a cricket walking across here, the 3 feet on the ground will pick up the bouncing of the bug's footsteps.
Wow.
At different times.
That's
so
amazing.
It can gauge what distance it is,
God,
how fast it's moving, and where it's going to be roughly. And
that's,
it's amazing to see, because when they're hungry, you can literally pop something down a meter away from them, and they'll just run towards
wow.
it. Yeah.
So when you say, like, when they were designed, when they evolved into what they are now, they just got it right.
They just seem to have all the tools. They were fortunate enough in the first place, because having an exoskeleton, being a sea creature and having an exoskeleton, meant that they were able to carry themselves out of the water. And maybe the theory is that at first they would have carried themselves out of the water and fed on, say, carrion on the beach, so dead washed up animals, fish and all that kind of stuff that would have been washed up dead, they could have gone out, had free reign over that. Then, as I said, there's evidence of them coming out after prey, like after other small arthropods that would have been like wandering around the beach. It'd be an amazing sight to see, to go back in time and see these fairly big chunky scorpions coming out of the ocean.
So if we did go back in time and we did go to a beach and we saw them coming out of the water, how big would they be?
Well, they have cousins, ancient sea scorpions. They're not exactly the same family, but they were up to like well over a meter in length.
Really?
Yeah. Now, them weren't exactly crawling out of the oceans, but the
right.
species that they found and the footprints they found in Australia would have been about a foot wide.
Wow.
So they were big animals. Now, they weren't Jason and the Argonauts kind of big. They weren't gigantic, you know, monster scorpions, but they were very, very large in comparison to the today's species. Like, this would be considered a large scorpion nowadays.
And
it'd
probably,
it'd be as big as my hand. And that's pretty much it.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I just remember something that I think I heard in school, and maybe I'm misremembering it, but I think do spiders breathe through openings in their bodies?
So most of the arthropods would breathe through either book lungs or sphericals, and the one you were talking about is sphericals. So they're little kind of air openings in their body. This is part of the reason why bugs aren't as big as they used to be, because when they evolved at first and they were taking over the land, basically the first flying creatures were dragonflies, the first big land creatures were like the giant millipedes and the centipedes and the spiders' cousins. The reason why they were so big back then was the oxygen content of the air was massive.
Right.
So they don't breathe like me and you
and
force air in. They kind of just absorb it through these openings in their body. And when there's a massive amount of oxygen in the air, gives them that much more energy that they can get bigger and do more.
And do they breathe in the same way?
Yeah. So they have a very similar breathing system to a lot of other arthropods, where they'd have the openings in the side that just absorb the oxygen.
Oh, I'm moving now. Just beautiful. Like that very old, like everybody knows what a scorpion looks like, weirdly, don't they? I mean,
it's strange. It's kind of, they're a universal animal where you kind of, they've got such an almost iconic, I would say, shape, you know. So,
and you know the way sometimes you meet your heroes and you're a bit let down. I'm not a bit let down by this guy.
No, I mean, they're all over the world. They're in every continent bar Antarctica. They're very lucky and they're very evolutionary blessed in the way they evolve. I mean, great parents. So that after that mating we were talking about takes place, the mother will gestate her young from anything from a month to 13 months. depending on species and depending on temperature. Yeah, I mean, if they're
gestated in the body.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and also if conditions aren't favorable, she'll reabsorb them into her body.
Oh.
So
okay.
It's like,
yeah, that's protein then.
Yeah, exactly, and she just reabsorbed them.
They're really set up well.
Yeah, and she'll protect them. She'll carry them on her back, and
so she gestates them, and then she gives birth to live
young,
and then they
pops
hop
them
on
her back, and you can have 1 to 100 babies going around on a particular scorpion's back, and then as soon as they reach their first molt, they molt off and do a legger away from mammy, because when that molt is happens. They cease becoming young to her and become dinner. Yeah, so.
And what colour are they when they're born? Cause
they're pure white. Pure white. And they look like, they're very,
they
very
look like miniature scorpions.
Yeah, right? But like white and soft and very delicate. And that's why this little trait that they have of protecting them on their back is really, really useful, because if you take a baby scorpion off its mother's back, it generally doesn't survive. Even if it isn't eaten, it just doesn't do well. They secrete a chemical from their, a kind of a substance from their exoskeleton that the young scorpions will nibble on to give them that energy.
That,
so,
and that brings us back to the non-mammalian lactation.
Yeah, very true.
So apart from this secretion, what else do they live on as babies?
Oh, straight away they go into predation.
Right.
So, you know, they'll scavenge, they'll kill. Don't freak out if you see some cockroaches around. We had a few escapees.
I just missed that one. You picked it up and I didn't see it.
Yeah, there's a few.
Never happened.
Yeah, okay.
Me and cockroaches were still not quite
that's
reconciled.
What I was thinking.
No.
But they're straight away, they're predators, and they start snapping at things and you know, and they're ambush predators mainly.
Mm.
So that means they'll find a little crack in a wall or in a desert situation, they go into a burrow. In a jungle situation, they'll go into a pile of leaves or a log, and they'll sit there and they'll wait, and they're so patient because they don't use up that much energy.
Yeah.
they'll wait and something somewhere will come across them and they'll snap at them.
That cockroach that you just picked up, where did you put it?
I put it there, and the yolk will go wandering off
somewhere else.
Something will eat it in here at some stage, don't worry about
right.
But
The babies then, they go straight into predation. Do they then hop back onto their mother's back?
No, that's it. Once they're off the back, they're gone.
How long do they stay on the back?
So it's just up to their first molt.
Okay.
So again, species dependent, and also even within a species, the amount of nutrition the mom's giving them, how much she's hunting, the temperature, the air, all that kind of stuff. It all plays into a factor.
So a good mother, apart from, you know, wanting to eat them when they're sort of half grown.
So in Kent in England, here's a good one for you. In Kent in England, a mother scorpion or several mother scorpions arrived in, they reckon, from doing some DNA analysis of them, from Italy in some... It's shipyard, basically, that would have brought in a lot of stone masonry back 200 years ago.
Mm.
And they brought in Italian masonry. And what was in the Italian masonry? Italian scorpions, yellow-tailed scorpions. And they are now happily living in a massive population in a 50-metre wall. It's a 50-metre wall, just one wall in England, in Kent, in this small place. It's the furthest north that they've been recorded.
Wow.
And they're just living there, doing absolutely fine.
God. And not being invasive, not knocking anyone
else
out.
Well, they can't go anywhere else because it's so cold there. This is a south-facing wall, so it just happens to be a little bit warmer than other areas.
Mm.
It's covered in spiders and woodlice.
Right.
Perfect prey items for them.
And
they all just live there quite happily. And when the spiders and woodlice numbers go down, they eat each other.
Really?
So they have this perfect little ecosystem going on there.
That's
amazing. So it's very, very, very interesting. And if you were to go there at night and you are anywhere looking for scorpions and you want to find them, of course, especially if you're in a jungle situation or in a desert, it's quite daunting going out looking for something that's pretty small. But if you have what we were talking about earlier on,
The torch,
you can see what happens.
Oh my
here.
God, you've just shone that torch on and it's fluorescing now and it looks green. That's extraordinary.
It actually doesn't even look like it's real. It
no
looks
it
like
doesn't
a toy
look like
or
it's
something.
Painted yeah
so
do you know do you know why they do that?
Now this has been a hotly debated. You can see his
I can see
front.
His hairs and everything.
Yeah,
you can see amazing
the front,
detail.
The claws I was telling you about.
Yeah.
His mouth.
Oh, you can. Yeah.
It's very cool, isn't it?
Very
The question as to why they fluoresce has been hotly debated for a long time now,
right.
And there's all sorts of theories. The short answer is that no one really knows yet. It hasn't been proven out. Is it something to do with sex, reproduction? Is it something to do with a defensive mechanism? The latest theory was that it makes their whole body act like an eye, and it means that when a rock gets flipped off them, they'll be able to detect UV, which is sunlight, which is harmful to them, and disappear.
Because, well, sunlight is harmful to them.
Yeah, well, sunlight's not good for any arachnids. They don't like it. Well, the vast majority of them don't like it. It's going to be quite harmful to them and dry them out. So you'd see probably on television and movies and stuff a lot of scorpions running around in the day. The fact of the matter is that really generally doesn't happen because they'd be nocturnal animals. While they're living in deserts, a lot of scorpion species would live in deserts. Mm. But they are nocturnal because if they get caught out in a hot day in the sun, they'll dry up because they're still insects, or not insects, they're still arthropods, and they're still basically sea creatures that came onto the land. So,
oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So there's a lot of myths and urban legends around these guys in terms of their
some of the myths are true.
Right.
The famous one is the Indiana Jones quote where he's talking about scorpions. They're covering him and he says,
"One of the scorpions just stung me. Am I going to die?"
"How big?"
"Huge."
"Good."
"Good."
"When it comes to scorpions, the bigger the better."
"Don't worry about them, kid. The bigger ones with the big claws are not dangerous." That's 100% true. Well, not 100%, about 99% true.
Yeah.
most scorpions, you can gauge the impact the venom would have on you by the power in their claws.
Okay.
If it has weeny, tiny, little skinny claws at the front, it's probably going to be packing a big punch in the back. If it's got big, muscular claws at the front, it's probably not going to have much venom at all.
Mm.
And that's because it's an evolutionary trade-off between having big, muscular arms and no venom,
yeah,
or weeny arms and lots of venom.
Yeah.
My kind of analogy is, if you're a big, huge, muscular guy, you're not going to be bringing a knife around, and you know what I mean, to show how tough you are.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. So I'm looking at those quite big pincers now.
Yeah.
And what are they actually used for?
So in this species, they are used in...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
For fucking shit up. That's, you know, they use for actually just crushing the life out of things. And the pince here is actually worse than the sting, believe it or not, because it's a very powerful pince.
He's open them now.
Yeah, and he can crush small anything up into small vertebrates, like geckos and even small snakes and frogs. They crush them, squeeze the life out of them, and then just chew them up.
But do they kill their prey with the venom?
Unless it's absolutely necessary, they won't use it.
Why?
Because venom is a very, very valuable resource for any animal. And most animals that carry venom won't just throw it around willy-nilly. They'll want to hold on to it. So, as I said, if they can overcome an animal fairly quickly with their claws, they'll do it. If the animal's struggling, then they'll give it a blast of the venom. So that makes sense, you know.
So a scorpion doesn't wake up in the morning and go, I have to sting a human today, you know. They're not going out looking for a scorpion.
Not a chance, no. Yeah. But they do like to wander at night. They do like warm, damp places, and people's shoes are moist and damp after a long day being out walking around looking at the pyramids. And they have a tent and they're out there and they leave their boots outside. Yeah. And in the morning they don't shake out their boots and they get a nasty sting.
Yeah.
And it happens more often than you think. But, you know, you have to just always remember to shake out those boots.
Yeah.
Shake out those boots and t-shirts, yeah.
That's my motto.
I've been looking for scorpions all over the world, and the old black light is a great thing. But during the daytime then, it's the old fashioned flipping rocks.
Okay.
In Africa this year now, I was flipping a few rocks and I came across a fat tailed scorpion. And only for I was a little bit bookish and I read up beforehand, I had my goggles on. And I actually got blasted with they spray their venom.
Oh.
And I didn't know. I'd been to Africa before, but I never came across the information that there are kind of spitting, for want of a better word, scorpions.
Wow.
And I just happened to come across it, and I said, oh, well, I better put on these goggles if I'm going to be flipping rocks. And
Jesus, yeah, thank God for that.
Yeah, yeah, because apparently it's quite painful in your eye. So yeah, it was a bit of luck. But they were a mad looking little scorpion. Very, very interesting animal.
Where does the most venomous scorpion live?
You got me there. I haven't a clue. I would imagine, straight away I can say it's definitely a desert species.
Right.
I would imagine so.
Presumably because they don't see prey so often, so if they're packing venom,
that's what
it has
saying,
to pack
the same
a punch.
As that spider we were talking about.
The six-eyed
sand
spider.
Exactly. So I'm assuming it would be one of those. Mm. The bark scorpion in the US of A has a pretty bad reputation because it will live in places like Vegas. So it comes across a lot of people, and you know, people have lovely luscious lawns with bugs all over, so yeah. But I know that has a fearsome reputation. I don't think it's a killer as such, but I could be wrong on that. Fascinating creatures.
Yeah.
Very odd, strange, fascinating creatures. And yet, as you said, so familiar to us all that, you know, I'm sure you could even probably show a picture of one of them to an Eskimo and they'd be there going, yeah, it's scorpion. They're these iconic, beautiful, beautiful creatures.
So you said that they're to be found in almost every place in the world, but we don't have any native species here, do we?
We don't. We had a little mini invasion on Dawson Street a couple of years ago.
Dawson Street?
Yeah.
In Dublin.
Some builders got some slate in from Greece and it was covered in scorpions.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So they ended up getting rescued and, yeah, a couple of them are here. Mm.
Yeah, oh, you have
I
a few
have them
of them
here.
No better
European
man.
European scorpions. Well, who else are they going to call to collect scorpions off the ancient period?
Oh, no, that's a tarantula.
That's a tarantula. Wrong box.
No, it's a good thing that she goes back under
she
there.
She goes back, yeah. My God. I need to get the S boxes, you know that? Please be the right one.
All right, we're taking up another big Tupperware box.
Now, there you go.
Now that's
fully grown.
Very small. Like a centimetre.
Yeah.
Just over 2 centimetres.
Yes.
Centimetre and a half.
They'd be a very common European species.
You've just turned on the torch again and now you can see that amazing fluorescent, like painted green, lead green almost.
Yeah. Now here's some ones that didn't.
You're holding up a mole. Oh, that's a dead one, is it?
That's a dead one, but look.
It's still fluorescing when you turn the torch on.
And get this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scorpions that have been fossilized.
Mm.
For millions of years, you bang on the UV torch, what happens? They still glow.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. So the substance that causes them to glow is so, so tough, it will actually get fossilized and still have that same ability.
God.
But I think these are lovely little...
They're very nice. They're tiny, like they're so...
But again, if you look at the claws...
Yeah.
In relation to the body, they're quite big.
Yeah.
So you know that tail isn't going to have much of a whack.
So when did you get these? When did they appear in Dawson Street?
God, that was 2 years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, or no, 2 years ago. Long time ago, anyway, yeah.
And come here, how long do...
It wasn't these, it was a female.
Okay.
And she happened to have some babies, so... and it was one of the... I think it was a dog shelter or something, ended up having to collect them. And
oh, God.
Then got in contact with me and said, do you want to have these? We don't have much experience with scorpions. And I was like, do I?
So you put them away there now.
Yeah.
But come here, how long do they live? I heard they live a bit longer than you might expect.
Yeah. Well, it's species dependent again. Mm. But I know some of the desert ones can live, you know, 7 or 8 years. And
right.
Some of the... I've had some of the bigger scorpion species for over 6 and 7 years.
Wow.
And they would have been wild caught as well at the time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people didn't know how to breed them years ago. So like everything, unfortunately, a lot of animals, when people get into hobbies and collecting animals, they have to source them from the wild at the start. A lot of scorpion species are protected now under the CITES, the International Trade in Endangered Species, because they were so... collected so much from the wild that they nearly disappeared. So now, thank God, we have people who are breeding them and producing them in captivity, and everything's good again. So they can live fairly long, and they're great pets, don't need much care. Just don't piss them off, and everybody's happy.
Now, you're a fighter.
Yeah, occasionally. I was, yeah, retired.
Jiu-jitsu.
No, I'm a kickboxer.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my apologies.
No, it's fine. I wish I knew jiu-jitsu, because they all kick the shit out of me. You know, some of my pals are very well established and great jiu-jitsu players, and my son is actually getting very good at it too.
Aww.
So yeah, it's not he's strangling me for the remote now. I can't get the telly anymore.
Good to keep you in line.
I know. Yeah, it's good. It is.
Did you know that the scorpion is the symbol of fighters?
I did not know that. No.
For the reasons, I guess, that we're looking at with the venom. And they just look so fearsome.
That's incredible. I never knew that. That's really cool. Deadly. So if I get one tattooed on my arm now, it would be for two reasons, yeah?
Yeah, they're big, apparently, in tattoo circles. And they have a lot of tattoo meanings, which I don't have offhand. But think about scorpions. They, like a lot of animals, they're really misunderstood, aren't they? Like, we see them through the prism of our human eyes, our human life, our human expectations, and how we behave and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we wake up in the morning thinking that everything is out to get us, and in fact mostly they're not. Everyone's just worried about surviving themselves, and they're not thinking about the humans who are wandering around and, you know, are we going to get one today? And I'm always fascinated by what we how we weave all of these fears into stories. So you have the story of the scorpion and the frog. A scorpion needs to get across a river, and he goes up to a frog and says, you know, can you take me on your back across the river? And the frog goes, right, so I'll pop you on my back, I'll swim over, and then you'll sting me halfway there, and then we're both dead. Why in God's name would I do that? And the scorpion says, no, look, it's not in my interest to sting you halfway there, because then we'd both drown, so, you know, what would I be getting out of that? So, of course, the frog thinks this is a reasonable argument,
yeah.
And they set off.
Makes sense.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
The scorpion hops on his back, they get halfway through the river, and the scorpion raises his tail and stings the frog. And the frog says, but you said you wouldn't do that. And then the scorpion says, I can't help it. It was in my nature.
Yeah, I'm a scorpion.
But that's a real human thing, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and it's a good little... it's a good little fable to tell young people. And because I think we all come across scorpions in our life like that.
We do.
Who are... yeah,
but we have to remember,
can't help it.
You can't help it.
Help themselves. But there you go.
But we have to remember that they're not all out to get us. I get upset when I think about things like all the old Grimm fairy tales, which were told for a reason. They were told to teach kids not to do things that were probably going to get them killed.
Hmm.
But then the animals around them were then demonized. So, you know, the wolves were demonized in all sorts of fables and stuff. So they're useful for us, but they don't necessarily reflect the animals. I just feel scorpions are misunderstood. And looking at them there, they're so lovely.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you can pick up most scorpions, even the ones that sting could kill you. You could probably pick them all up and run them over your hands and they won't sting you.
Yeah.
Because they're just not arsed, unless you squeeze them or grab them in the wrong way.
But it takes them a while then to replenish the venom once they've stung.
Every animal There's a lot of proteins that go into venoms and stuff. Must have my pal on sometime to talk about venom from the Venom Lab in Galway.
Yeah.
But the amount of energy that goes into creating that, it costs them a lot.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not killing a lot of prey and you don't come across a lot of prey, you're not going to waste it unless it's absolutely vital for your survival.
Mm.
And, that's probably why you can excuse an animal for stinging you, because you must have been doing something to it, sitting on it like
exactly.
me. Or, you know what I mean? Just doing something crazy.
Exactly.
My friend Ian from Trinity, one of the lecturers in Trinity, got stung on his nether regions when he sat in a scorpion. And yeah, it was up his shorts and everything.
Oh,
was, that, so yeah.
And I'm sure he's delighted that you're mentioning it.
Oh, I don't care. I hope he's listening to this. I know his wife actually listens to it, so yeah, happy days. But they do. They, like everything else, they get a bad name. I will say this, though. All the fables, all the grim stories and the stories about animals also served a different purpose as well. It did warn people, especially younger people, to stay the hell away from dangerous animals.
Yeah.
So it did serve a purpose.
It did, yeah.
Not so much nowadays, because we don't really have dangerous animals walking around our neighbourhood. So it seems like they're being vilified without reason.
Yeah.
But there was a reason at one
point. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I just feel that, a lot of these guys, in particular scorpions, are misunderstood. That's it. Scorpions can be found in mythology as well. So you have some scorpions who are gods or goddesses. So in Egypt, you have a goddess called Serket. And she was depicted as a scorpion, apparently. Look, there's a picture over here. I'll show you. She sort of looks like the front of her looks like
she's like a really weird looking mermaid.
The front of her looks like the front of the
Sphinx.
The Sphinx, yeah. The back end of her looks like a scorpion.
Yeah, and like you kind of look at mermaids and go, "Oh, how's it going there?" But you look at her and you'd run because she literally has a scorpion's arse.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, good luck.
But there you go. That's crazy. Yeah, I never even heard of that.
Yeah, and apparently there's this village in India, in Karnataka, and apparently there's a big celebration every year around the scorpion. So the villagers, they worship an idol of the scorpion goddess. She's called Kandamai. And they also play with live scorpions.
Sounds like I'd fit in there very well.
Apparently, children put scorpions all over their bodies, and the scorpions apparently never harm them.
That's mad.
Yeah.
They're probably just regular scorpions that just don't bother stinging people. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're attributing these scorpions to having some magical properties that they don't harm the kids because they're being worshipped. But that's probably what it is. Yeah.
I kind of want to go to that festival. I don't think they'd have like beer or Guinness there.
No.
That's the problem. I'd be drinking the scorpion juice. What's he doing to our goddess?
And then there's the Egyptian goddess Isis, and I think we should reclaim that name.
Oh yes.
And Isis's husband Osiris was murdered, and apparently she used scorpions to find his body and bring him back to life. So they weren't always vilified. But some of the goddesses were created in different cultures of mythology in order to protect people as well from scorpion stings.
That's cool. I'm going to be traumatized by that scorpion goddess for the rest of my days. You have to look this up. That's amazing. Serket.
Yeah. So front looks like the front bit of the Sphinx followed by the scorpion body.
Yeah. You could be sitting at a bar and a tall table be in front of her and you go, "How's it going?" And then you come over and she's lashing you out with a stinger that's about the size of a car. That's mental. And look at her there with the claws as well.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Are you willing to put one on your hand?
Go on then.
Yeah.
Go on, we'll do it.
We might as well do it. This is part of the
process. Insured?
Are we insured? This is part of the process.
All right, we're back to our big dude.
Well, obviously, we're going to put your hand flat there like that.
Flat on top of the thing.
Close all your fingers and put your thumb in.
Okay.
Like that. Okay?
Okay.
And then I'm just going to do this. Now.
There's now a scorpion sitting between my legs.
Okay. Gotcha. There you go.
Right.
Between your legs is not where I wanted the scorpion to go. Oh my god. It went straight there too as well. Jesus Christ. We've got a
scorpion on my hand here.
Yeah, well.
That's a beautiful creature. That is truly a beautiful creature.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And soft.
Yeah.
Like it treads soft, if you know what I mean.
Very gentle.
Yeah. No, I'm going to get him off you before he heads back down your, down between your legs again and causes some kind of a terrible accident that I'll definitely be sued for. That's amazing. I've never had that happen before. Fucking hell. Jesus, that was incredible.
Right.
Well, yeah, we got you the hold of the scorpion. Oh yeah, shit, I want to show you this. Mad panic.
Okay, another huge Tupperware dish.
Before we go.
Tupperware container.
You're going to have a repetitive stress disorder for saying Tupperware container in this house. Everything's a Tupperware container. It's crazy, isn't it? Now.
Okay, you're opening. I'm not seeing anything.
You're not seeing anything. Yeah, so this is a really kind of... This would be a classic spot where you go looking for scorpions.
You've got the torch in your hand.
I'm just going to show you.
Oh, it's fluorescing everywhere. Oh my God, there's bits.
There's lots of bits.
Oh my God.
That's where they've been molting.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, you've just lifted up a log and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
They're his kids.
Ah, so we're looking at the offspring of that guy who's just walking on my hand.
Your hand and the rest. But yeah, all the fluorescent bits are claws and stuff that...
So little shards that they molded off.
Yeah, and you can see how it glows so
That's
well.
Amazing.
And you can see there, what I was telling you about, the extensions on the body.
Yes.
See the way it's stretched out?
Oh, yes.
Just had a big feed.
And the colour is different underneath there. It's almost like when it fluoresces.
Yeah, because that's the fleshy, soft part that would... It wouldn't be as waterproof as the hard exoskeleton. You can see it here as well.
Ah, that's extraordinary.
So I can tell who needs feeding. So this guy obviously needs a bit of feeding.
He's pretty skinny. He's got
So it's great to see.
That's amazing.
Now I'm going to keep these together as a commune.
Right.
So that means I'm going to have to eventually get them into maybe a 6 foot long container.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's going to be worth it because it'd be nice to have a massive... Yeah. Amount of scorpions living together and getting on well, as opposed to having to separate them all and try and breed them and watch them for 38 hours as your man awkwardly tries to
So that means if they're living in a commune, they won't be eating each other. The mating process will
be
easier.
They won't be eating each other if I'm feeding them correctly and I'm looking after them. You're always going to run across the chance of a female scorpion not being in the mood and killing the male.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Fair enough.
Fair play to her. If she's not in the mood, she gets a free meal. And also, it's probably more natural for them. Like, for example, when I was in Malaysia and I went out looking for scorpions, I was like, I'm never going to find a scorpion here. It's strange thing is when you go into a kind of a natural rainforest setup, it's very hard to find anything.
Mm.
Really is. Because there's so much leaves and cover and logs and everything. I was like, how am I going to do this? And I went out in the dark and I had my much bigger UV lamp, turned it on, and it was like the galaxy lit up. There were scorpions everywhere. They were in the trees, on the ground, over logs, running around. It was insane. Never, even with the most brightest of torches I'd have, I never would have found
just perfectly camouflaged.
Also, I checked it out. If you bang on your own natural torch, they bolt, you know. So yeah, it was really interesting to see. Yeah, it's crazy. But I don't know how I got onto that. I went on a tangent. But yeah, the setup I want to have for these guys will be very similar to that.
Right.
There'll be a massive amount of them, all different ages, all living in the same place, crawling around. And yeah, hopefully it works out.
Are you going to have them in your house?
No. Mrs. Ennis does not like scorpions in the house. She's the wise frog. She's not going to let those scorpions in. She knows their nature.
I have one final question for you.
Yeah.
Are we going to do it? Are we going to play out on the scorpions?
Oh, for God's sake. Are we allowed? Is there copyright laws?
Look, nobody knows.
Will I have to sell my shed to some aging rocker who's just going to be like, yeah, Mr. Ennis, you played my song on your podcast. No way. We'll get a dodgy copy of it played by panpipes or something like that. Use that instead. No, stick on scorpions. Fuck them.
Follow the Moskwa down to Gonky Park, listening to the wind of change.
Do you train that fucking scorpion?
What?
You train that scorpion?
No, I did not. Jesus Christ, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Off the place.
Listening to the wind.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.